Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You're about to listen to Bananas for Bonanza, Episode 16.
This is Andy Daly. Hello. Here on this free feed, I'll be re-releasing all of the back episodes of Bananas for Bonanza, one every other week. If you want to hear new episodes ad-free, please subscribe to my Patreon at patreon.com/AndyDaly. The entire Bananas for Bonanza archive is also waiting for you there, and you can access lots and lots of bonus content. So do that. Okay. Thank you. Enjoy.
Yeah! Bonanza, it's the finest show alive. So consult your TV guide, get your great outdoors inside, take some Ponderosa pride, and forever may it ride. I'm Bananas for Bonanza.
Hot damn, we're all recording on our own goddamn devices. All right, you ready to get started?
Yep.
I am going to start with a yeehaw. It's going to be about, on a scale of 1 to 10, going to be about an 8.3 volume-wise. Here we go. Yeehaw! Okay, and Mutt Taylor, as always, fired his whipping. Mutt, whose name was written on this bullet this time?
Well, this time I thought I'd do something a little special, and I wrote the name of one Christian Kringle, a.k.a. Santa Claus, and put a high-velocity round that might travel all the way to the North Pole, just a little gift for the man that gives so much every time this year.
Yeah, I hope you shot that due north, because that's where that fool lives. You know there's no land up there at the North Pole.
What?
I've just recently looked at it on a map. If you're going to live up there, you're living on the ice.
Well, I just bought a bunch of land up there from some carpetbagger come up to Tahoe and sell me a bunch of land up there.
Oh, shit. Well, I didn't mean to say there's no land.
You know? I hope that gun was one of my family-friendly guns.
What? Is that what you're selling now?
Yes, family.
Tell me more.
Well, guns in the home are the most lethal, and are the people use it most for suicide or against each other. And that's why you want to have a family gun.
What's that mean? How does it work?
So that it's not from outside. You know, it's something you've gotten engraved and has been, you know, kind of family in script.
I see. So if you're going to be shot by your husband or wife, you want it to be an heirloom piece that means a little something.
Yeah, that looks cute.
Yeah, so people will respect it. You know, you might beat somebody to death with a regular old Bible, but not the family Bible.
No. Well, the family Bible, no. Yeah, definitely want to get a family Bible, because then you can fill in the blank. It's like a Mad Libs, and you put in the names of people that you love in your favorite characters.
And so this is likewise a family gun, and people just have a little respect for it as a family heirloom.
Yeah, so that if something bad happens, you know, it looks good on the evidence table.
Oh, yeah. There you go. I want a gun that's going to look good on the evidence table. Tell that to my gun dealer. Well, hey, wait a minute. Let me say the thing I say at the beginning of every one of these here episodes. I say, hello, friend. Come on in. The gate is open wide. Welcome to Bananas for Bonanza. Folks, I'm your host, Dalton Wilcox. I'm a real working cowboy and a cowboy poet from the American West, currently living in an underground network of tunnels under an undisclosed national park because of all of the invisible mans that I gunned down at the annual Wilcox Ranch Cowboy Poetry Exposition. That's a long story. We're not getting into it. Folks, each episode of this show, we talk about an episode of the TV show Bonanza. That's all. That's it. That's all we do. And we go in order, because I'm going to tell you right now, this episode you're listening to right now is coming out just a few days before Christmas. And I seriously considered maybe skipping ahead to a Christmas-themed episode of Bonanza, like maybe Season 8, Episode 15, A Christmas Story. But on this show, we go in order, and we ain't anywhere near Season 8. So even though maybe you might say to yourself it would be very enjoyable to hear about a Christmas episode this many days before Christmas, it's not going to happen. By the time we get to that one, it could be in the middle of July, and we'll damn do it. You're free to watch the Christmas Story episode of Bonanza anytime you want to. Matter of fact, I recommend it. It's real good. Maybe we'll talk about it in a little bit But today, we are going south of the border for an extremely history-making episode of Bonanza. This is Season 1, Episode 16, El Toro Grande, which could mean anything. A lot of the words in this episode is Spanish. We got a wonderful guest here to help us discuss it. Before we introduce him, just quick hello. You already heard from him. We got Mutt Taylor, guitarsman of the Journeymen, here firing off bullets at Santa Claus.
Howdy.
Howdy to you. How are you up there?
I'm doing as well as a fella living on his own with a Christmas tree cut down sideways because it's so big it can't fit in his shipping container can be.
Yep, you're living in a shipping container and you misjudged the height of your ceiling so badly that your Christmas tree is lying down. But I think that's probably looks great. And Amy Sleverson, a Christian entrepreneur, Amy Sleverson, who's now marketing the family gun.
The family gun, but alongside that, I'll be plugging a few more Christmas holiday products that we'll get to just in time for the new year.
Yes, typically episodes of Bonanza, Amy is inspired by moments in the show to come up with new products for her Christian home goods product line, and we're always delighted to hear about them. Well, now, folks, let's get to our fantastic guest. I couldn't be more excited than this guy. I'm going to tell you right now. I don't know if I'm supposed to reveal any behind-the-scenes business, but this guy was pitched to us hard. This guy's people was calling me, a lot of them, many times, say, this guy's got to be on Bananas for Bonanza. He is an actor. He is a writer. He is a producer and a podcaster. He's always up to something. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Shear's here. Hey, Paul Shear. Yeah.
Hey, everybody. So excited to be here. So blessed. So honored. I mean, what a great group. And I love what you guys are doing. This is awesome.
Hey, thanks a lot. It means a lot to me. Yeah.
What's your favorite episode of ours?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's actually, you know, just because of quarantine stuff, I haven't had a chance to actually listen to the episode, but everybody I've been talking to, my publicist, has been saying this is a great podcast. And
you haven't had an opportunity to listen to this podcast, to Bananas for Bonanza?
I just heard what you were just saying before about the Christmas tree and the Christmas episode. I thought that would sound really cool. And
okay,
yeah.
Who's your favorite character on Bonanza?
Yeah.
Oh man, you know that's actually a great question. I like a lot of them. You know, I'm actually. Kind of my hands are a little bit deep in the world of Bonanza. I think that's probably why I'm here, honestly. I'm working on I have actually been tasked with rebooting Bonanza.
So what?
I'm very excited. Yeah.
What are you talking about, reboot?
That's my job.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just basically I've been kind of reached out to by, you know, by the studio to kind of re-envision Bonanza for like now, like what's the
Holy
audience want now. So I'm very excited about it. Yeah, it's big. And, you know, I definitely want to catch up and see these episodes because it sounds like there's so much stuff going on, you know, for me. But yeah, like I'm into it. I love
it. Wait a minute. For now, like you're not setting it in contemporary times, are you?
It's a back and forth. You know, so there'll be a plot line that will be in the present, and then obviously the plot line in the past.
Oh my goodness! So it's like we're going back and we're seeing the Cartwrights on the Ponderosa in the 1860s, and then we're flashing forward to what to like the Ponderosa today or something
well,
like that,
or
their descendants.
Like, well, yeah, we're gonna have like a little bit. I'm trying to still like kind of break it all down, but obviously because yeah. you know who's that guy from Stairway to Heaven or Highway to Heaven? That guy.
Michael Landon.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my God. Yeah, he might as well be.
You know, so he, you know, because obviously, like, I think one of the things they never really explored in the show is like, or maybe they haven't talked about it because back then it was like, he's bisexual, right? And so the idea that, like,
wait a minute. What the hell are you talking about?
He's barely, like, sexual.
Well, that's the whole thing. He's hiding his sexuality, and that's something that we're going to really kind of get into in this version of it. What? You know, and kind of how, that kind of takes over the family, obviously. You know,
what are you talking about? What are you talking about? You're talking about Little Joe Cartwright, the character Little Joe Cartwright.
Yeah, Little Joe Cartwright, bisexual, and you know, and I think that was kind of my hook in is, you know, so when we go to the future, the Cartwrights, it's a family. It's going to be all women instead of the brothers.
Oh,
you know, so
it's going to be like, yeah. Well, how are they going to? First of all, how are they even going to survive if they're women? Every woman dies in this show. You got one episode. Good luck.
Yeah. Well, I think you know we're really going to like, kind of up it and really kind of really you know put some more bells and whistles on the show. For me, it's sort of I think the thing that people really liked is. You know, what's the modern day bonanza? Like, what is the modern
ghost
day?
Women?
Yeah.
Ghost sorry?
Women. Ghost women? Women who are... Because
no,
you said
no.
All the women die, so then they're ghost women.
Oh, yeah.
Women.
No. There's no ghost women. They run a small, like, pop-up bakery now outside of, Reno, Nevada. And so it's a family. The Cartwrights are kind of... They'll be, you know... There's money here, you know. There's a franchise opportunity, or a small bake shop that's kind of growing exponentially. So,
are you talking about? Is this the current day?
That's the current day.
The current day plot is the descendants of our Cartwright heroes is all women's, and they've got a pop-up bakery. And
it's getting a lot of attention, so it's like this idea that they're expanding out and they're getting bigger. It's sort of like the new bonanza is small business. You know, back then it was gold, right? That's what the show is about, gold.
Silver, and so, God damn it, it's silver and timber.
Okay. Yeah, and sure, the Cartwrights are not mining anything, damn it.
Now they're about muffins and muffin diving.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, we definitely want to have fun with that kind of stuff because we also see like the fun integrations that we can do when the show comes on Amazon. Like we'll be able to, you know, have like muffin pop-ups all over the country. It'll be like, you know, official Cartwright muffins and
muffin
which I'm
dives.
Excited about. Yeah.
What's a muffin dive? Hang on now. Amy Sleaverson is throwing around the term muffin diving like it's something we've all heard of. What the hell is muffin diving?
I've heard of muffin diving.
Well, I haven't experienced it, but my husband is something that kind of it treats women's hysteria.
Okay, I'll have to look into it on my own time, sounds like.
You know, I know that I think it actually works opposite for me, if you catch my drift. It makes women hysterical, you know? So, so anyway, I'm just psyched to be here. I want to learn from you guys. I want to get what is, you know, bananas and just kind of understand it.
Let me
you mean bonanza?
Yeah, but...
Right, well, the show is called...
Oh, brother.
The actual show is bananas for banana, right? Where,
this is
or is it just bonanza?
This is desperate. This is a desperate situation.
Are you... pitching what? This or have you already
no, we got
sold
a green light. It was really cool. No, fuck. I got in there and I just, you know, I looked at them and I was like, I said, you know, Bananas is one of the biggest shows of all time. Like we need to redo this and we'll make it gritty, you know, make it more sexual. Obviously, you know, Deadwood is, you know, the kind of the guiding post here and we want to kind of push it even further. You know, then just kind of like really get in that world, but then also show how like the modern day cowboys are, you know, small business pop-ups, you know, food trucks, etc. Because they will have there's going to be a fun thing, like a competition with a food truck. And that will be kind of like, another ranch or whatever the thing is.
Modern day cowboying is not making muffins, goddammit. There's still working cowboys out there on the range, my friend. Well, what were you going to say, Mutt Taylor? I think Mutt Taylor's going to read you the riot act. Go on, Mutt. I'm letting him off the chain.
Oh, I was just going to say I ought to slap you with a bandolier full of shotgun shells, but...
Oh, I'm writing this down. This is great.
Wait, what? No, you can't. See, that's my point. I ought to rasp you with my whiskery chin just to... No, stop it. If you could just, I ought to yank you by your ear and send you by Pony Express dead and minced up to your mother.
I love this. This is great.
Where is entrails like a scarf around your neck?
Yes, goddammit. Thank you. I ought to hang you in a noose made of your own entrails, menudo, and tripe dribbling down your chin so the buzzards know where to visit.
Yeah. I ought to unwrap your mummification and wipe my ass with it.
All right, cool. This is why I'm here. I'm so psyched. I'm loving it.
Mother Duster, is that I pitched a show called Munanza that was set in the future, but it didn't sacrifice any of the lifestyle of the cowboy like yours has, and it seems you've stolen out from under me.
No, they said there's a lot of people pitching on this, you know, and for me it was sort of like it was a no brainer because I kind of had worked on it, you know, with them in the past, and so I just kind of came in. But they said that idea never really got traction. They said they just had a theme song and. Some images of like a ranch house on a moon or something like
You're talking about the Munanza theme song.
Yeah.
That's the number one greatest theme song in the history of television, despite the fact that it never was on television.
Well, we've already talked to Trent Reznor. Trent Reznor is going to be doing our Bonanza theme, and we're excited about that because what he's doing is just awesome. And, you know, I mean, obviously, I guess I just want to get into it. I want to like just figure out like, you know, we have to make amends here. And obviously, I think there's a lot of things that, you know, I don't know if you guys have really like gotten into like the issues of Bonanza. You know, I want to get into it. Like, what do you guys want to see in a big thing? You know, what do you want to see? Like, what do you want to see happen?
I just want to see the same show I've always seen.
Yeah, over and over again.
Yeah.
You know, in my version, the old part of the show, we're definitely going to embrace the fun stuff. Like Hop Singh is definitely going to be a big part. He is going to be the smart. He's going to be the brains. Honestly, that's
what the thing are you talking about?
Yeah, we want Hop Singh. We want to kind of like make amends there and just make Hop Singh like, you know, he's really the mastermind of the Cartwright family kind of
make amends for what? Hop Singh is a comical Chinese man, and it
just doesn't sit right.
What do you mean it doesn't sit right?
We just need to kind of address it and kind of, you know, so what we're going to do is elevate him, you know, and kind of make him like the boss.
He's already a wonderful cook. What do you mean elevate him?
Well, that's the whole idea. Like the cooking that he's going to do is that's going to be our connective tissue. To the future, because it's going to be Hop Singh's bakery. So in the future, Singh is running the bakery. The Cartwrights are working for him. So it's sort of like that's the kind of the upheaval that we're kind of looking at, you know.
Can I have a bottle of water like they give at development meetings? Because this is hard to follow.
No, it's sexy, it's cool, and you know, I just, again, we want to do all the fun cowboy stuff too, you know.
We are not going to validate your parking at the end of this pitch meeting, my friend.
No, son of a bitch. And I will say that I only pitched this one place and one place only, and that was a place called Quibi. And it didn't go, and I maybe should have tried some other places. And aside from Trent Reznor doing the score, which since watching Mank shows that he's perfectly versatile, I disagree with everything to its core, which you are presenting today, you some bitch.
Well, no, I think you're going to like what we have. Obviously, you know, for us, it's like, it's kind of bring the humor back. It's, we want to put Jim Carrey in the front of it as the patriarch of the family. So, you know, like he's going to be really like that. He's going to be our, I don't even know how you pronounce his name. Is it Lorne Green character? And so he'll be that Lorne Green. And
it's Lorne Green. The E is decorative.
Okay. So, yeah. So he'll be like, so we have like, you know, obviously Jim Carrey is attached. And then we have like a really fun crop of young Cartwrights. And, you know, for me, it's sort of like it was a coup for us to get Demi Lovato to kind of commit to act. Demi Lovato as...
Dua Lipa?
Dua Lipa, you know, she, I don't know if she acts, but, you know, Demi to us was somebody that we really wanted to get because she crosses over so much. And, you know, she'll be, you know, doing a lot of that kind of, she'll be kind of heading up the family in the front line of it.
She's going to die in the first episode? Is that what you're saying?
No. She's really going to be, you know, she's our... I don't know. She's our lead. I mean, she's our lead in our future. Yeah.
So that's kind of fun. Megan the Stallion gonna make muffins too?
God bless. Right from your words to her ears. But you know, like, look, it's
whose ears? Her.
What?
Are you calling God a her?
Yeah, I mean, you know, right? I mean, God is everyone, right? So it's also God's a her.
Oh. Let me just school you on one thing that you probably don't realize. Mm-hmm. You can teach a stallion to do so many different things, but you'll never teach it to make muffins. This guy is such a city slicker. He thinks he's going to teach a stallion how to make goddamn muffins. It's absurd.
No, her name is Megan Stallion. She's not an actual stallion, but it doesn't make a difference. We're not going to be making the muffins. The muffins is just, you know, that's the lumber of our future, you know. And then it's also kind of dealing with, because in the past we have
Eric Cartwright.
Yeah, so he's really thin. Yeah, he's thin in our version of it because we didn't want to promote Diana, that kind of negative stereotyping towards larger people. So in our version, he's going to be a lot thinner.
But wouldn't you want to have a representative of larger people if you didn't want to have negative stereotyping? You'd want to have them there?
It just felt to us like we don't want to show anything. Like, we want to make the show very accessible to people. And like, if they see somebody that's larger, they may feel like we're making fun of them. So we're calling him Slim. Haas is Slim in our version of it.
Oh my God. And you got a goddamn bisexual little Joe. What on earth did you do to Adam? Adam is the toughest. He's the manliest. He's the oldest of the three Cartwright boys.
You didn't give him normal sized teeth. Did you?
No, Adam is, you know, we still want to keep that masculinity, and we really want to embrace it. And, you know, for us, it was just about finding that right voice for it, you know.
Oh, yeah. He's got wonderful voice. That's true. Adam Cartwright does have a wonderful, he's got a tough leading man voice. Yeah. Okay. So I like where you're talking about.
And we wanted to also embrace the fact that, you know, like Adam also, we want the show to have musical elements to it too, because I think that's something that's on the prairie, people sing songs. And so that's why we did reach out to Clay Aiken to kind of take that Adam role. He was American Idol. And really fun, talented guy. Feels very Midwest. And I think that's what we want to embrace in the show, a Midwest vibe.
Clay Aiken as Adam Cartwright.
Yeah.
Oh, brother.
We're excited about it. You know, we're really excited about him. Because, again, we're trying to bring over the musical element that I think the show, at least what I had understand the show to be, is, you know, obviously there's music in it.
To be clear, have you ever watched the television program Bonanza?
This is a question that I get asked a lot. No.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Yeah. No, but I'll tell you the thing. I've cut the cord. I've cut all the cords, actually. I live kind of a life where no computers, no internet, no TV. So I just, what I'll do is I'll go to the local library in my town and I'll look on Wikipedia, and I got enough from that to kind of work on my pitch and stuff. Yeah, but I don't really watch TV. I'm not a fan of it.
You mind telling me where you live? No reason. I just want to know where you live.
Well, it's out here in Hollywood. Pacific Palisades.
Surprise.
Pacific Palisades for life.
Oh, you're lucky. You live in Sanctuary.
If you ever want to come, we have two guest houses out here, and it's lovely. We'll put you up real nice, and even the second guest house has its own little pool area.
This reminds me of the pitch meeting I was set up with by ICM with the Catholic Church when they wanted me to market my bank, Christ Cash.
Does ICM represent the Catholic Church now?
Well, they tried to set me. Yeah, they said, "Oh, you guys get together," and we were both told that we were big fans of the other one, but then neither of us were.
Oh, right.
And we still had to eat a Caesar salad.
What were you trying to pitch? Oh, you were trying to pitch them your Christian
Christ
banking?
Christ Cash.
Christ Cash. And this is where it's what is it, quick high interest loans to Christians only?
Yes.
Okay. And the Catholic Church didn't go for that?
No.
I'm surprised. Well, what we have heard is so far is an absolute outrage, and it is bewildering. To learn like this that Amazon is rebooting Bonanza in this whole new and different way.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot like The Boys. It's going to be edgy. It's going to be funny. It's going to be action. And again, like, you know, we're going to be playing with the timelines and, you know, whatever that may be. And I think, obviously, you know, we want to hear your pitches. We want to make sure that you all feel involved. We know that they have a very small following of the original show, but we don't want to lose you guys. You know, we make way for the old timers. That's something that Amazon feels like we really want to embrace. Like,
I know you got the wrong idea, but Bonanza is the most popular television show of all time. And it continues to be to this day. Mm. More people watch old episodes of Bonanza on YouTube than have ever watched anything anywhere at any time in the history of man.
I don't know if that's right. Yeah,
that's true.
I'm a little fuzzy on the whole internet of it all, but I don't know if that's entirely true. But truthfully, I kind of maybe can talk to you about some of the plots, or we could talk about this episode again. I didn't get to see the episode.
You listen to me, Silver Speedo.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something.
Okay, that's good. I'm writing that down.
There's 430 episodes of this show, and we cover everyone, and by God, we will. And when we get to the end,
we're going to get the most of those done the first season.
Oh, boy. I'm saying, when we get to the end of this original and only series of Bonanza, don't expect us to come doing a podcast recap show about your fancy pants dude.
No, we actually have somebody lined up for it right now. And that's great. I don't know if you know, she's Patty Harrison, super funny comedian, and she is great. And her and she's going to be doing a fun thing, having bigger celebrities on, stuff like that. So we definitely want to do that. We want to kind of get into the comedy world with fun people.
Launching the sort of comedy recap podcast of your TV show at the same time.
Well, we just wanted it to be irreverent like the show was, you know, obviously, you know, because it's sort of like, to me, it was sort of like, you know, Bonanza represents so much that we want to make sure that we bring in the youth and stuff like that, too. So she's young and she's very funny, and so we want her to be kind of leading that, and she'll bring in different guests, you know. And anything that you want to see, let me know, because it's like, you know, we'll do fun stuff. I know that I was writing this other episode last week, which I'm it's so fun, where the Slim and Jim Carrey, this is so great. They get robbed by this Native American woman and during a blizzard and stuff like that. And so then they're left out there. It's kind of like it's our Sopranos. So it's like Slim and Jim Carrey kind of lost in the woods trying to get home. And that's a, you know, really dark episode where we get to really see what they're feeling emotionally, you know, how lonely they are. We get to kind of plumb the depths of their depression and, you know, of being on this and stuff like that.
That sounds a lot like the episode called The Last Hunt, where Hoss and Little Joe are out almost getting robbed by a squaw.
Yeah. We just took that and we kind of put our little magic dust on it and just kind of,
Are you looking for commercial sponsors?
Honestly, maybe. Amazon doesn't have commercials, but we want to, like, you know, look, maybe we do like a trade thing. Like if I do a commercial for you guys, you could do a commercial on our thing. I don't know if that works, but we could try it. Like, what would you like to do?
I have it's a holiday item. It's just for right now. It's this Peace, Prayers, and Blessings Supreme Basket.
Okay.
Wagon.
Yeah. Wow.
It's the Supreme Basket Wagon.
Supreme Basket Wagon?
It's a Supreme Basket Wagon, and it comes with a family in need.
Okay, wait, I just want to ask, you said it's a holiday thing. Is it a Catholic holiday thing? Or is it
Go. It's just Christian.
Okay, because our Cartwrights are going to be Jewish.
What the hell?
The Cartwrightmans? You can't, it doesn't work. It doesn't scan.
It won't work.
To me, it makes more sense to kind of really, I mean, to be talking about somebody trying to make it in a time. We've seen the story of like the white Catholic family. We want to do something a little bit different, you know, so that's why we are, you know, they are going to be, you know, a Jewish family on the prairie and kind of embracing all
that. But we've already seen that on Bonanza. They all play the Indians.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, our Indians are going to be a little bit different. They're going to be a lot smarter. They're going to be really running the roost here, you know.
There's no reason these baskets couldn't be reconfigured as Hanukkah baskets.
Great.
But they would still come with a family in need.
And okay, wait, literally a family in need, or are you supporting a
family in need comes with the basket. One member of the family is a very pretty woman, and one is a musician. So you know that you're guaranteed that in every family.
Is it a basket?
Yeah.
Is it a basket that's shaped like a wagon?
It's a basket wagon.
Oh, it's like from this episode we're about to talk about.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Well, yes. But that's why I was thinking. I mean, if he's shutting down our show right now.
I don't want to shut it down. I really want to use you guys. I definitely want to, like, that's why my publicist put me on here. I want to connect with you guys so you'll support me. I'm bringing some energy over to you guys because my social media stuff is really going to help this podcast. I'll tweet about it on Instagram and, I'll hit it up on Twitch, whatever you guys want me to do.
Just saying that I'm open to jumping ship whenever you need somebody.
Do you know at all your star meter ranking? Because we are using, we're banking our guests based on IMDb star meter ranking. Do you have a star meter ranking?
Like our sheriff badge, that like a 10-star?
No, it's more of a Hollywood thing. Like Amazon only wants us to book guests that are 2,000 and higher on the Amazon star meter thing on our podcast. So if you're in that zone, I mean, and you're a woman, so you probably are a little bit higher than a lot of the guys. And that's something we're definitely, into. So yeah, if you can find out that star meter, I'll send it to the people at Amazon.
How do they measure that? I'd like to know how they measure that.
I don't know. I don't know if it's about searches or projects or whatever. Yeah. I'm very blessed to, kind of have a really nice one. And that's, that's kind of, I think, why.
Yeah,
I was able to, get this job.
That's how they're making their decisions based on the. Nobody knows how they calculated star meter.
I'm down to talk about this episode. My assistant gave me some notes about it, so I can kind of just jump in wherever you want. I'm here to support you guys. And again, it's a niche podcast, and I love that you all are keeping the flame alive.
This isn't a niche podcast. They're telling me that this is right behind Radio Lab and the TED Talks hours and the Malcolm Gladwell's, and then
maybe alphabetically, right?
Number four is us. But okay,
Wow. Okay. Well, hey, that's awesome. Again, I know that you've had some big guests. My publicist is telling me that Nick Pizzoletto was on the show. So that's, that really that made me feel like confident to come on here. Yeah.
And I have 1,000 pounds of genuine Mexican bull livers that.
1,000 pounds of livers.
Because it's based on the story from the show, Prometeo, Prometheus. And so these bulls, the livers are strapped up on the mountains of Acapulco.
Okay, and, cool. I love Acapulco.
It's
best.
The livers are picked out, and then a Christmas holiday nosh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, sounds like you need to move 1,000 pounds of livers pretty quick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Again, I'm not really in the ad sales part of this, but yeah, I'm in, so.
Okay. So maybe on our podcast, we'll advertise your podcast, and on your podcast, you advertise our podcast and Amy Sleverson's livers, 1,000 pounds of livers.
Absolutely. But, I'll talk to my my producer about that, I'm down. I'm so down. I love ad swapping.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that you're down, but hopefully this episode will cheer you up because this episode is a fantastic episode. And we're going to talk about it. And my hope is that by the time we're done talking about this episode of Bonanza, our friend Paul Scheer will say to himself, hey, all this crazy stuff I'm planning to do to modernize and change up Bonanza is exactly the wrong way to go. And instead, it should be just precisely the way it was. And let's see if I can persuade Amazon to simply show the old old episodes and treat it like a new show.
Yeah, I think people think it's a little bit slow. I mean, but you know, the good news is that we got the, you know, the sign off from Pernell Roberts' grandson. So he is all on board with this, too. So he'll be able to get out there and get the word out.
Ugh, poor Pernell. Well, all right, folks, this episode has everything, as I say about all the episodes. If you have been thinking to yourself up to now, Bonanza has given us thoughtful, sensitive depictions of Chinese people and Native American people's people. Mm. And when will they finally explore Mexico and Mexicans? Your wait is over. This episode is full of Mexicans, and one of them is played by a real Mexican. This episode is funny as hell, and it is suspenseful, and it is romantic, and I can't think of a single thing that I would change about this episode if I could. I can't think of one thing. It's perfect. I think this one is perfect, right?
Yep.
All right.
I mean, it's a little crazy. I mean, I'm looking at my notes here. It says like Haas had to fight a bear or something like that. Or is that?
Oh, yeah. We're going to show that clip.
And it puts the Revenant to shame. Let me tell you that much.
Hell yes. My God, the Revenant would bury itself deep in a pit if it ever saw this.
And it touches on issues of immigration that are vital to our nation's story.
And this episode is historical in two different ways. Number one way it's historical is it's the first time we ever learn that Hoss Cartwright's real name is Eric. We've never heard that before.
We're definitely going to call him Eric in our show. Eric or Slim is probably the two names that would be, primarily Eric.
Well, okay. And this also, I fell down a rabbit hole about this. Ooh. I believe this episode of Bonanza is the first recorded utterance of the term chupacabra.
Really?
I truly believe it is, based on my research, which
that's going to be a big thing for us. We're definitely playing into the spirit, the supernatural world here. We want to get that Stranger Things idea out in Bonanza, like, you know, what are the monsters of the prairie? So I think I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, well, oh, Lord, what are the monsters of the prairie? There's monsters all over the prairie. I've been advised and admonished to please not talk about monsters on this podcast.
I know, but you know, they asked me to kind of get your vibe on that a little bit, too, because we do want to play into the supernatural element that I think has always been on the show, but really never, you know, kind of cracked
open. I don't know what you mean by supernatural. What I'm trying to tell you is there's vampires and Frankensteins and mummies out there on the plains of the American West.
I am writing this down. This is great. Great.
And those motherfuckers are trying to kill cowboys.
Believe me, this is going to be a big part of what we're talking about.
Well,
this
okay.
Great.
Now I'm starting to come around. All right. If it deals with those real issues, that's good. Folks, you know I like to do some fun facts about the people that is in this episode. Maybe I'm going to run through a few little fun facts, then we're going to take a break, and then we're going to go scene by scene of this episode, and we're going to school this Paul Scheer in the glories of the original Bonanza as it was always meant to be. Well, there's a character in this episode named Don Xavier Lozaro. And this episode, they go down to Mexico, and this fella is he's a Mexico bull owner down there. And this fella, Ricardo Cortez, played the role. Ricardo Cortez was born Jacob Krantz in New York City. And when he arrived in Hollywood in 1922, they thought he could be the next Rudolph Valentino. And so they changed his name to Ricardo Cortez. And he had a kind of a career in the silent movies and in the talkies as a sort of a poor man's Rudolph Valentino. But he did star as Sam Spade in The Maltese Falcon. Yep. Ricardo Cortez. Now, they rebooted it 10 years later with some fool named Humphrey Bogart.
Got it.
So you're saying that when they did actually decide to put an ethnically appropriate actor into the role of a Mexican, it was played by a person who was not ethnically appropriate?
I didn't follow what you said there.
I didn't either. Go on.
But this Don Xavier Lozaro was played by Ricardo Cortez, a.k.a. Jacob Krantz. Now, interestingly enough, he had a long movie career. This is the one and only time he ever appeared on television. Whoa. And Right after that, he quit show business and got a job on Wall Street and did pretty well for himself. So that's...
That's a great movie idea. I'm going to write that down.
It's easy to explain because where are you going to go from being on Bonanza? There's nowhere to go but down.
That's right. His career reached a pinnacle, and he said, I quit while I'm on top. Then we've got to also looked into this lady, Barbara Ann Luna, who played Cayetana Losaro.
Which means shut up in Spanish, because she talks too much.
She sure does. Most of the women on this show don't have quite so many lines, but she really has a lot to say. And this woman, Barbara, sometimes she capitalizes the second B in her name, so that's fun. She was in the,
Barbara?
That's, if you look her up on Paul's treasured IMDb, it's capital B-A-R, capital B-A-R-A, one.
Yeah, and I'm actually, I'm looking at her IMDb rank right now, and she's actually up 155 points this week, which is actually really great for us. So maybe it's somebody we should look at casting in the show. That's great.
Well, that's because we're talking about her right now. Yeah. Now, and she was in the original production of South Pacific and The King and I, and she was in a movie with Frank Sinatra, and then she played Lieutenant Marlena Moreau in a classic episode of Star Trek called Mirror, Mirror. You ever hear that one? This is what this one was about. This episode involves a transporter malfunction that swaps Captain Kirk and his companions with their evil counterparts from a parallel universe.
Right.
That sounds hard.
Yeah. I want to just share my screen with you because I have a screen photo from that episode. I do like
I've been actually working on a Star Trek thing with QT, which has been great.
QT?
Quentin Tarantino. So we're kind of having fun with, you know, really shaking it up a little bit more. And yes, again, more sex, more gritty, you know, fun stuff. Yeah.
Good Lord. No one should ever do anything with the original Star Trek. I don't want to hear about any goddamn new television show or any other anything.
No, I
agree. Star Trek, no one's ever touched it after all these years, and nobody should.
We're agreeing. What we're going to actually do is just CGI the mouths a little bit different. And so it will be the original actors, but we'll be putting all new dialogue into the old episodes, kind of, you know, rebooting all the episodes. So then, you know, you'll never be able to actually see the old episodes. It'll just be kind of our new scripts with the voices, kind of like, like Johnny Quest or something like that.
Oh, good Lord. Well, anyway, this is a photo of our friend James T. Kirk here with Barbara Ann Luna. And I just need an explanation for the vest. He's wearing like a gold lamé vest.
Yeah, sexy. That's great.
Commendations on it and fringe on the shoulders. And
so Drake.
Who? Francis Drake?
No, Drake, the musician. That's such a Drake outfit right there.
That's a very Drake outfit, is it?
Yeah, it's totally all Drake. Right.
Well, I don't know. I just don't know what's going on. But anyway, there's that. And then, folks, we've got, another interesting actor in this episode, a fellow by the name of Roderick Redwing, playing the Indian Brave in that scene where the Indians steal the bull. Roderick Redwing claimed to be a Chickasaw Indian, but the 1940 census made it clear that his birthplace was India and that his name was apparently Roderick Rajpur Kai. But he was one of the Top Gun, knife, tomahawk, and whip instructors in Hollywood in his day.
Nice.
Skills which he did not use at all in this episode of Bonanza.
And technically, he's still an Indian.
Sure, exactly. He was just as confused in the same way as Christopher Columbus was.
Right. Now, we're going to get a lot. That's going to be like one of the cool things about our show is that the knife fights are going to be really a real all one shot. David Leitch, who did, you know, obviously John Wick and stuff, he's going to be directing the pilot. So, you know, that's going to be that's how obviously Pa Cartwright gets that scar across his face in the first episode.
Dalton, we've got to be willing to grow and develop and learn because we can't proselytize to the new generation unless we...
Oh, man. I'm willing to wear one of those vests if that's what it takes, but I don't like anything that he's talking about here. This is unbelievable.
No, we want to make it kind of, Pa Cartwright, you know, because obviously Jim Carrey's got such a great face. We do want to, you know, kind of create him like Omar from The Wire, which is my favorite show. You know, this is The Wire of the Old West. So we do want to have, you know, whenever Pa Cartwright comes around, like we want to have that scary slash down the, and, you know, that'd be funny. Yeah, there's a right down.
This is the most upset I've been
Really? Who's doing the theme song? And if you haven't chosen anyone,
well, that was Trent Reznor. Trent is going to be doing that.
Just doing the music.
I mean, we assume. But if you want to maybe, you know, take a crack at it, we definitely have open submission. I can kind of put it to our people, our music soups.
Well, I'll send one over, and if you're open to it.
Good Lord, Mutt Taylor.
I'm just saying.
What are you doing?
It might be just called Moonanza, and then consider setting it on the moon.
We're not really doing moon stuff until season 3, or at least that's the way the pitch document ran.
I have an order in to Vistaprints for 10,000 posters. And it's Wagon Wheels in the Forest. Have you ever heard that Christian story?
No.
That I was wagoning through the forest and my life flashed before my eyes and I saw myself fighting a bear and then shooting two men in cold blood and a ritualized scarring. And then I noticed in some points only one wagon wheel trail. And I said, Where were you, Michael Landon? And God said, Michael Landon said, because I was 20 miles behind you carrying all your stuff.
Wow. That's heavy shit. I love that.
That's a beautiful story. I love that story.
I kind of used it from some other Christian literature and then just kind of copy-pasted.
Yeah, that's great.
Yes, it does. Parts of it do seem familiar, but parts of it are brand new. I enjoyed that. All right. Well, with that, I think we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to go scene by scene on season 1, episode 16 of Bonanza, the absolutely perfect and no need to change in any way, El Toro Grande. We'll be right back.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
All right, folks, we're back. We're here. It's me, Dalton Wilcox, Amy Sleverson, Mutt Taylor, and our guest, Paul Scheer, who is...
I am bonkers for Bonanza.
Okay. Damn it.
Bananas,
the show's called Bananas for Bonanza.
Okay. I'm going to get on. I'm going to get all this stuff in, you know, and this is not going to be another one of those TJ Hooker debacles that was an issue that I had when I was trying to reboot that for a bit.
Oh, you rebooted TJ Hooker?
Yeah, he was a cop hooker.
He's a cop and a hooker?
Yeah.
Named TJ?
It was in Tijuana.
Well, this one actually sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah. But, you know,
TJ Hooker, Tijuana hooker, but still a cop.
Yeah. He was a cop. He was the undercover cop in Tijuana. And it was a sex worker and a police officer. And I thought it was actually really good. But obviously, culturally, right now, like what we're going through, cop shows are not going to really be getting a lot of heat. So we'll definitely just kind of we got moved off of that. And that was something that we were really excited about. But that was HBO Max and they were all on board with that reboot. We're very excited. We got Adrian.
So you sounds like you've rebooted a lot of shows. This sounds like it's kind of your thing.
I'm kind of the reboot master, I guess, to a certain degree. I love to kind of, you know, take what was kind of great and then make it great again, you know. kind of like, my God, Joe Biden, right? Thank God he won.
Yeah, speaking of Jim Carrey.
Build it back better. Build it back better.
Yeah. I have a new saying instead of build the wall, build the mall.
Oh, build the mall.
I want to shop, and I want to shop with everybody.
Hell yes. The goddamn stupid goddamn shutdown orders that say you can't go to the mall. I've been going wherever I want.
And yeah. Whether I'm just so it's lucky I got that vaccine early.
Huh?
What? I'm just so lucky I got that vaccine early. I guess I got friends. You know, I'm over at UTA, and so they were able to, put your name on a list over there, and we were the first ones to get it. Kevin Hart got it first, obviously. And
UTA? Urine tract affection?
No. That's my
some people have a lot of affection for their urine tract.
Yeah. No, this is my talent agency, UTA, United Talent Agency. And so what they were able to do was, because we are obviously, all of us are frontline workers. And, so we were all able to get, if we don't create entertainment, then how does anyone kind of continue on? Like if there's no one there to do table reads on YouTube, like how do we... how do we keep this work?
This rebooting Bonanza that you're doing is considered essential work.
Yeah, essential work. Yeah. Frontline workers. Yeah. So that's, so again, I'm so happy to get the vaccine, and I feel great. I feel really great, and I'm not wearing a mask anymore, and that's great. I know they say I'm supposed to, but it's like, well, whatever.
Yeah, no, I never have been wearing a mask. I don't want people to think I'm trying to rob a train. All right, folks. This episode begins in Virginia City. In a bank. Ben Cartwright is getting $15,000 cash from the bank, and a bad guy sees him do it. And then goes around the corner, and he gives that money to Hoss in a money belt, and we understand that Hoss and Little Joe is going to travel down to Mexico to buy a seed bull whose name is Romatias El Segundo Yame Encarnado. and somebody says, well, that sure is a lot of bull, and there's laughs all around. Fantastic first scene.
Good comedy.
See, that's the kind of comedy that we really want to be embracing again.
That's great.
And that's the kind of banking that we do at Christ Cash. It's open book banking, so we yell out your balance as soon as you come in.
Right.
And then we say, you're overdrawn by 9.29 cents. And then we say a biblical quote regarding money as you leave. If you lend to the needy, charge no interest. Have a good day.
Oh,
that's from Exodus.
That's beautiful. But to be clear, you are charging interest at your bank.
Yes. Are you kidding me? How are we going to pay for the
wow.
It's a building. It's a building rental.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's true. They do announce, this banker does announce out loud, he just got $15,000.
Yes.
And so now the whole town of Virginia City knows that somebody's got $15,000 cash. And that's how we go out to the opening credits, is by these two bad guys sitting there basically explaining that they're going to kill Hoss and Little Joe and take that $15,000.
I love it all. And that's, for me, that's always, for me, what I love about it is that cut to the opening song. And I know we're going to listen to your Monanza one, but for us, it's always been Run the Jewels has been in my mind as being the band that's going to really kick it into gear.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that. But this episode is one of the other rabbit holes I fell down, was looking into whether this was the 16th episode to feature the burning map in the opening credits. And it is.
That map burning is great.
Yeah. When we come back from them opening credits where Hoss and Little Joe is setting up camp, and those bad guys ride up and they trick them. And sure enough, they've got two guns on our heroes, and they're going to steal that $15,000. And that's when Little Joe makes like he's going to give them the money. He reaches into a leather bag that has a hole in the bottom of it already and shoots him through the bottom of the bag.
Oh, that was a great trick. And it tells me with that hole, he's done it before.
He's done it before.
Yes, the crushed ribs ploy, and then the bag play.
The bag play. Right. And then Hoss Cartwright bonks one of these guys on the head and kills him just with a single bonk on the head.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he makes that fella that got killed, he makes a real comical face when he gets hit.
I tried to freeze it on the, I was going to show you, but yeah, folks, when you watch this episode again, you'll see he gets bonked on the face and he makes a face like, and falls down And then Hoss is like, oh, I didn't mean to hit him that hard.
And that's good comedy because you understand it, and it ain't using words, or it ain't using intelligence. It's just using pans and faces.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Interesting. Okay, cool.
Keep and that
then
in
we
mind.
Then we get to Mexico and we meet Cayetana, and she's very excited about handsome Americanos coming into wherever they are. But her mother
didn't go to my no line school of acting. That's for sure.
I know most women. I thought about that. She went to the opposite.
Yeah, but she is promised. She is betrothed. And her mother says one's marriage bans are posted. I don't know what that means. And she decides she's going to take a special bath and put on special clothes to meet these handsome Americans. And what else? Then we meet. And then when she does meet him, she's basically dressed up like a bride. And she and little Joe do some heavy flirting right next to her fiance, Eduardo. And that's another time I'm going to share my screen with you because this was quite an extraordinary piece of staging. Wait a minute. I didn't do it, did I?
I'm surprised nobody said that she was their prize cow.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. That was right there, and they left
that
it there.
That was right there. I just lying on the table.
I just don't like that kind of way that they treat women in the show. It just feels like really dismissive, and, you know, we really want to make sure that we don't do that in the show. We want to make sure.
She's got the nicest clothes. Look at that. It's a lace mantilla. It's beautiful.
You know, obviously.
To be dismissed, you have to be gathered and tossed. And in that moment, you're gathered.
Yeah, this is a beautiful story. Right. She is going from being the property of her father to being the property of this Eduardo, but there's a transfer of property. There's a little bit of confusion. Well, anyway, I like this picture because this is Joe pitching woo on Cayetana, and her fiance could not be closer.
Right.
He is literally shoulder to shoulder and staring right. We'll put this on our Instacart and everybody can see it. But this is he's staring daggers down. Joe Cartwright. Anyway, that amused me. All right. But then what happens? Is that when we meet our comical Mexican family? Boy, they're funny.
Oh, man. They should have a show. They should have given them a spinoff.
They really should have. And this fella, this is a genuine Mexican fella, this actor, who was part of a Mexican something or other family troupe as a youngster. And he just, this guy cannot stop singing songs. This guy, he loves to sing what I presume are funny Mexican songs in Mexican language.
No, they're all about I Want to Die. Mero.
Oh, yeah. Do you know some of this language?
Yes, some of the songs. He says, I want to die.
Jeez,
really?
Wow, this is dark. Okay, yeah.
I'm shocked because he's singing them in a very jaunty style.
Yeah, no, they're sad.
Oh, man. All right. Well, anyways, I should have mentioned that the Xavier is selling the bull. Did I make any of this clear? Who cares? Hey, the bull sometimes goes by Rojo, Big Red.
Yeah, we're going to do most of the show. I mean, I noticed also, like, they didn't really do subtitles in the show. We really want to be truthful to the languages and of the people and the culture. So we're going to definitely make the show heavily subtitled, you know, because it's not Star Trek. There's no universal translator.
Oh, really? So when the bull makes a noise or the bear makes noise, you'll put little subtitles under there too, so as not to offend the animals?
Well, that's ridiculous. But I mean, honestly, we are finding, we're doing a lot of research that animals are watching more TV, and that's more cats and dogs and things like that. But not necessarily bulls. But if they do,
it won't be as educational, because right now it's sort of a Spanish-English immersion program where you have to figure out who's using accurate Spanish.
Yeah, plus it's funny. It's more funny. There's a hilarious scene. Well, first, let's say this scene here. There's a little boy who's concerned that the bull is being sold. And he's pretty sure the bull's going to be eaten.
He can't speak Spanish, really.
No, he can't speak Spanish. His mother speaks English just fine. And but then in the next scene, what happens? The boy steals the bull. He runs off with the bull. He's sort of a bull whisperer.
Right.
And, And then we have a funny, boy, this scene was funny, where the white people are asking the mother and father of the boy where the boy is and where the bull is. And this is where your subtitle idea just falls apart, because what's so
they're
funny.
They're stretching for time.
It's so funny. Is that what they were doing? But
they're stretching. They're not saying anything to each other. Just keep saying, right, so what we should do, so then.
And well, yeah, that's the whole thing. Regular, normal people who speak English watching this don't have any idea what they're saying and shouldn't. But what the joke is they say, where's the boy? And he says a whole lot of mumbo jumbo to her. And she says a whole lot of mumbo jumbo back to him. And then he says, she doesn't know. All of that just for she doesn't know. And then the comedy rule of twos, they do it two times.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, they probably do. Okay. Yeah, sure.
Ask about the boy, ask about the bull. And man, it was funny as hell. And if you had subtitles, and all you'd be reading is whatever nonsense they was saying, which Amy Sleverson says was what? But
and then. According to any story or about the boy or anything.
You get the feeling that that in the script, they just said the two of them speak Spanish. And on the day, the director just said, just say nothing or whatever.
Just go on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, again, this is kind of, again, if it borders on being offensive to me. But okay. But yeah, go do what you got to do.
Yeah, it's not offensive. So then they head out to find the boy and the bull. There's a whole party out there, and Cayetana insists upon coming along, which is very unladylike to have a woman along on a search party, for heaven's sake. But she's going to go to some sheep herder's house. The boy, meanwhile, is out there making a fire to keep away the bears, which is not a thing that keeps away bears, but he's a boy. He doesn't know. And he's out there with the bull, who, by the way, is not a particularly impressive bull. But anyway, he's the number one best seed bull in the world or something. But he's oh, boy, I liked it when the boy was fanning the fire with his little sombrero. That was adorable. And then the bull is scared of this. A bear comes along. The bull is scared of the bear. And but the bear goes away because of the fire, I suppose. Then we see where Hoss and Little Joe split up, and Joe's got a little mischievous look on his face, doesn't he, when they split up? Because he's going to that shepherd's house because he knows that's where Cayetana was headed, and he wants to have a rendezvous with her.
He's got a little bit of seed bowl in him himself. You know?
This is where we would get that R rating, you know, with the Hulu, with the Amazon kind of a thing that we can do on the show, which is what I really like. Just really, you could really embrace like that sexuality that the show is always dancing around.
Oh. Is a man going to come in to present the bisexual part of this story?
Well, we are going to explore a lot of different types of love. There's not one way to love, you know, and I think that the show is really just going to be about, you know, seeing the unrequited love. You know, I obviously was a huge fan of Brokeback Mountain, the poster and stuff. And I want to embrace that here, too.
I'll admit that was a good poster. They had cowboy hats.
Yeah, I feel like if we can get that kind of in the show, it'd be great.
Yeah. But then, okay, so now they do run into each other at the shepherd's house, and she's really coming on strong to Little Joe, and this is another one of those times where Little Joe has flirted a whole bunch, but when it comes down to it, he's all scared. He's backing off. He doesn't like a woman that comes on strong, Little Joe doesn't. And then she explains, I wrote down what she says. She says, when Joe backs away, she says, you're just like a Spaniard. You think all women are without virtue. We're kept behind bars until we marry, and then our wicked, jealous husbands watch us and spy on us until we are old and fat and dead. She says that she's been told that Americanos treat their women with respect and trust, and he says, we do. And she says, then kiss me and prove it. Wow.
That is. He doesn't mention the death count in his household for women.
I know. I was going to say, what do you mean by respect? It depends on your definition of respect and trust, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you respect all races and sexes. And, you know, I think we really want to make sure that, you know, everybody here is kind of raised up.
Right. Yeah. Here. Okay. Whatever that means.
Okay. Yeah. No. I just want to make sure we are definitely on that kind of page. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. Sure.
Okay. All right. But anyways. I don't understand. I don't understand much of what she said there. She says Americanos treat their women with respect and trust. Prove it by kissing me. That would be proof.
I don't get it either. Like maybe his kisses taste like respect or something.
Okay, that helps me explain it.
I just had an idea.
What
is your TV show?
Yeah, what do you got?
Making of Bonanza. So what if we have every character of Bonanza played by a sort of a Greek chorus of several hundred people?
Okay.
To represent every point of view, and then they yell at each other back and forth, all at the same time in dialogue.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I tried that when I rebooted Gilligan's Island, and the network just wasn't going for it. It's too kind of bold, but I love that kind of an idea, you know, because to me, Gilligan's Island is always a kind of this perfect microcosm of society. You know, you had your Republicans, you had your Democrats, you had your liberals, you had this kind of power struggle there. And we really wanted to articulate that by showing this Greek chorus. I always thought that was a great idea. I'll bring it up again.
Yeah, like Gilligan is a group of 40 women.
Yeah, I mean, you're speaking my language 100%.
You have a good argument there.
Could we justify putting the Gilligan's Island gang on the moon? That's where they get stranded?
Obviously, I don't mean to seem like... Yes, that's where we actually had...
Let me pitch you a title. Gilligan's Moon.
Yeah.
Okay.
We did rename Gilligan. We made it more Elon Musk-y. So he was more of an Elon Musk kind of character. So it was called, called GI because that was the name. It was a GI was the company.
Actually.
And Ginger, just to represent animals, is a bearded dragon.
Oh, I'm writing again, that's the show didn't go, but, I like these ideas. And again, I'm open to big fun ideas, you know, like let's break it down.
Any of you folks ever see the pilot of Gilligan's Island?
You ever watch it?
No.
Yeah. It's go ahead, check it out. It's black and white and it's gritty and it's shot on an actual island.
Oh, yeah. I kind of got bored by it because of the black and white thing. I feel like it's fun. It's fun that we got to, you know, look how far we've come, right?
Yeah. Hey, look, by the way, if you was wondering, is that bull in this episode, an impressive bull? I thought I wanted to get some perspective and help you guys get some perspective because I wasn't so impressed by that bull. So I looked this up. I'm going to share my screen with you again. I looked up, today, what's going on? How's the market for seed bulls? And found this article about a bull that smashes the record price, $1.5 million. And this bull is so big, he doesn't even fit in that picture.
Look at that. He's just chock full with ejaculate.
Yeah. By the way, I will say that this is actually something we actually bought. We bought this. The studio bought this.
Studio bought this bull for $1.5 million.
Yeah, that they call it a commencement gift. So when we started writing, they sent that into, they put a little hat on it and they sent it into our writer's room.
Well, are you mating it? Are you making little bulls?
Oh, I don't know where he went.
Well, you don't know where he went. Are you thinking he just wandered out of the writer's room?
I just told my assistant, like, all right, that we laughed at it. Let's get out of here. We need to order lunch. So we just kind of, I didn't remember it until I just saw it. I was like, oh, yeah, that was that bull.
You're telling me there's just a bull walking down the Sunset Strip of Hollywood ejaculating willy-nilly all over
all
the
I know
place?
Is my assistant takes care of stuff. Whenever I need her to take care of something, it's gone. And I don't ask questions, and she doesn't ask me what, you know, I don't get in her business. She's getting my business. So just get it out of here.
That is
roll calls.
Yeah.
You know, right. When you just keep calling people. Huh? That's what I've seen when agents do that.
They're rolling calls. Yeah.
Well, speaking of animals, now it's time that we watch the clip of Hoss beating the hell out of this black bear.
So scary.
It's scary as, wait a minute, that's the wrong bear. Did I lose the goddamn clip, son of a bitch? Oh, no, maybe this is it. No, look, I lost it. Okay. How am I going to find it? I remember, wait a minute. Everything's going to be fine. It just requires me to do more thinking than I wanted to. 2053 is the time that's at. This is be fine. And then we got to get back to 3808.
I'll cover for you. I was just thinking, Paul, of another reboot called Little House instead of the Prairies, just Little House on the Sea of Tranquility.
On the Moon, right?
Yeah, okay. But the Sea of Tranquility, so it's specific. So it is different.
Yeah. But it is still the moon.
Well, but it's different. It's a specific
part of
like
the moon.
Like the prairie isn't like Little House on the Earth. So what's the problem?
Right.
Yeah. He's got a good point. Okay. Here we go. Hoss. Okay. Hoss comes along, and now the fire, it rained, and the fire went out, and the bear came back, and I see if you guys, if you look real closely at this bear, is this a real bear, or is this a person in a bear suit? I couldn't tell.
Are you asking seriously? Because I'm not sure I know myself.
Well, I'm good at this. I'm great at this. I do CGI spot work all the time, so I can get in on that.
I'll tell you one thing. Either way, the bull is legit freaked out by it. So,
will you maximize your screen? Make it bigger?
Yeah, sure. Maximize my screen. Like that?
Elasa!
The bear.
Oh, shit, I turned down. Look, that bull is scared.
Oh, my God.
Here comes the bear. Now, Hoss, the little boy is there with a stick. Hoss's gun doesn't work, so he has to grapple hand-to-hand combat with this bear, working up a real sweat doing it, too. He just has to fight and struggle with a black bear. And the boy's looking on. Placidly. It's just a contest to see who can squeeze the life out of who first. Down goes the bear, and this part was shocking. He just pounds his head in with a rock.
It was beautiful.
It just keeps going.
Wow. I mean, this was a lighthearted episode that took a real left turn. And, I think that's a real bear. It's like a teenage-sized bear.
Well, hang on, though. Let's take one more look at the bear's entrance before you commit to that theory.
Okay.
The very entrance of the bear is quite a moment.
Eloso! Eloso!
I don't know what he means by Eloso.
Eloso!
Here.
Eloso!
Here comes the bear.
Okay, I stand corrected now. I've said before that I have perfect wigdar, and what is a bear suit but really a giant wig? But apparently I don't have bear dar, because that bear comes in on its knees and then gets up on its own.
Yeah, you know, definitely I got to say, I'm always pro getting actors in there. But yeah, we'd have circus come in and do that for us if we wanted to do it right, I think.
You'd get a real bear.
No, Andy Serkis. He's better than a real bear.
Oh, Andy Serkis. I thought you were talking about bringing the circus.
No, not circus. So, yeah, we'd get a real. We get him because Andy is kind of better than any animal, or at least that's what I think. And, you know, for me and for my money, I kind of watching that scene, like, that would be a great cold open for our whole series. You know, that bear fight. Maybe we switch it out so we make it Pa Cartwright, the Jim Carrey fighting the bear, and that's where he gets his scar. And maybe it's the whole idea is like the Moby Dick idea of it. So it's like that bear is out there, that bear gets away, or maybe it's a chupacabra. I don't know. But right now, my mind is this is great. I really want to use that.
Brilliant.
And then we all own the rights to all of it, so it's great. We can just use it wholesale.
You just own the rights to everything you could dream of, huh?
Well, we just got everything. We can, we could just use the sounds. We could use every piece of it. You know, it's like we can eat it all.
Unbelievable.
It's not yours. It's God's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you believe in that kind of stuff.
If you believe in that kind of stuff. Godless Hollywood. Unbelievable.
No. I'm not. I love spirituality, and I meditate four times a day. And that's very important to me. And, just getting in touch with myself. And, I got that app LeBron James uses, Calm, and that really has been helping me.
Okay. Look, if there wasn't a God, then that little kid would have been kicked by the mule like it almost definitely was when the bear came in. Did you see that?
I did see that.
The bull, I mean.
I also saw that the little boy was obviously instructed to, whenever you get real close to the bull, which we do want you to do, go ahead and put your hand on his extremely sharp horn so you don't get impaled.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of danger on this set, honestly, to be quite honest with you. We don't want to do that. We want the danger to be for the audience watching, not for the people on set.
Well, they had a different attitude on Bonanza.
My husband told me the only way you can scare away a bear is to take a wide stance and say, "I am not interested."
I did a bear hunt, actually, for my 40th. That was really fun.
Oh, wow.
We got a tour guide. We went out into Colorado, and they gave us all these shotguns, and we had a guy helping us, and we shot four bears. It was really fun. It was a
really?
Blast. Really? Great way to do a 40th. Yeah, it was super fun.
This is classic city slickerism. I'll bet you they...
Lamping, stuff, yeah.
You were probably
How old
in
are
like...
you?
A,
I am 41.
Oh,
so that was a lot of fun for us to just go out there and I got three bears myself. My buddy's got a couple bears too, and we just maybe they probably stocked the pond. I don't know how they say that, but yeah, there was a lot of bears out there.
Yeah, it sounds like these poor bears was fenced in someplace. You got some tour guide come up shooting bears in a barrel.
Yeah. It was great. I mean, it was so much fun. I mean, if you've never killed a bear before, it's one of the highlights. It was really, really fun. And they help you out too, because they put like an orange paint on it, so you can't miss it. You know, because sometimes they do.
They cover a bear in orange paint.
Just a stripe or two, so you get, you can see it a little bit better. They do blend in, and so our guy. Eddie, he was telling us like, don't worry about it. You'll see them real clearly. And I guess they were on like some bear clonopin or whatever. So they were slower.
When I kill a bear, and I've killed a bunch of them, I do it like Hoss did, except I make it fair for the bear, and I will try to tie a rock around his paw, too. So he's got a big rock, and I've got a big rock, and I always win.
That's fun.
He spends most of the time shaking his paw trying to get the rock off there, idiot.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm just clubbing his skull in with a rock. That's how I do it, damn it. Okay, well, now I have a mind to gloss over some things here. Because what all happens? There's a duel. There's a lot that goes on here. And we're at that point where I just want it to go a little bit faster. What did we just say? The bear. All right.
The bear fight.
There's a bear fight. And then Cayetana says she doesn't want to marry Eduardo anymore. She wants to marry Joe. And then... Eduardo, there's a suggestion that because of their interlude in the shepherd's house, now her honor has been besmirched by Little Joe, and therefore Little Joe has got to marry Cayetana. We're heading into a shotgun wedding situation, and they get the bull back to town, and they load it into a $500 wagon, and they head off back to the Ponderosa, not knowing that Cayetana is hiding in the wagon with the bull. And now they get back, they get to a campsite, and what do you got there? You get to, that's when we find out Cayetana is there. And the little boy wanders off with the bull because he's still afraid that bull's going to get eaten. And that's when he runs into a bunch of Indians.
Cool.
He runs into our...
Native Americans.
Native American people's people. He runs into our old friend Red Wing Rod. And then the chief, who's played by a fellow who's not Native American, but sure looks like all them feathers on his head. You fool me. And they have quite a scene there where they're going to... Because the bull won't go with them. Stubborn bull doesn't want to go with these Indians. And they decide, well, let's just kill him here and somehow bring his meat home to our people. And the little boy says, you'll have to kill me first. And they make like they're going to do it.
Cool.
And the boy doesn't bat an eye. He's psychopathically brave. He's prepared to be killed by these Indians. And so... The chief, he becomes blood brothers with the chief. The chief, just without asking permission or telling him what he's doing, pulls out a knife and slashes the boy's arm. You believe it?
That was a hell of a thing. And it teaches you to be brave, you know, to stand up for what you want, like Moonanza.
Having some girlfriends over for wine, and we're going to do that. We're going to do that ritualized cutting thing because it just looked fun.
Oh, that seems different. Girls over for wine, ritualized cutting each other.
You cut, and you create scarification, and then you go, we're sisters now.
Yeah, I did that. That was fun. I did that more in high school and stuff. You know, this bear stuff is making me think of like what I want to do in the show, because the food truck will kind of be our bear in the future episode. So that will be it's called Bear Treats, or is it Bear Treats or is it? Bear necessities. Yeah, it's like it's a kind of like a honey truck. So that's big right now in Portland. That's where the show is taking place, obviously. And so in Portland,
obviously Portland. What are you talking about?
Well, legal.
Yeah, like that's where Hop Sing is from Portland. And so he, you know, we're the great descendant of Hop Sing. And so that's why he set opened up shop in Portland. That's where the barely legal could
barometric be said. Pressure.
That's a temperature.
Bariatric.
But you know, so we will definitely have our Cartwright girls take some rocks, you know, but do it in a gentle way, throwing it at the truck and kind of scaring off that barely legal or bare necessities, whatever it is, the honey truck getting it out of
it's going to be bare necessities, isn't it?
It probably might be. Yeah.
God damn it.
How do you get your way of talking? You have this relaxed braggadocio that I need to develop for my small business.
You know, I think I love your ideas and I love the way you're talking about them. Passion is obviously 90% of the process. And, you know, 10% is, you know, well, passion's 90, 5% is luck, 4% is who you know, and 2% is just, you know, money.
Money.
That's 101%, my friend.
Yeah, that's what you need to make it in this business, 101%. You can't just exist at 100%. You know?
I guess so. Okay.
Here, let me pitch you.
Sure. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay,
yeah.
I have a Christian TV show.
Okay, got it.
And it's starring me. But it's also everything else that's ever been on been good.
Cool, yeah.
And so don't worry. And then I'm also very trustworthy as a entity. And so I already have all the money, so never mind. I don't even need you unless you were interested.
No, I love it. Let's make it like this. We'll take it Highway to Heaven. We'll reboot it. We'll put you in it. We'll make you like a homeless person and you'll be kind of walking around saying some stuff, crazy stuff. People will like you. And then, you know, every week you can kind of just like, you know, give some of this stuff out to people, families, whatever. I love this idea. Like, I think we should go with this. You know, all we need to find is your Victor French. And I think that's somebody that we could really tap into out here. Maybe it's Kirk Cameron, you know, if we want to do that religious angle and kind of just sell us off to like a, you know, one of those religious networks, or we just kind of go bigger.
Hallmark Channel
would be great, and Kirk would be great for Hallmark. You know, we could also get Mario Lopez as your Victor French, and you know, and that would be great. You know, so
lines. I don't want any lines.
No, that'd be great. Actually, if you're a mute and you're kind of like God's angel, a mute angel from heaven is down to protect people, and no one understands exactly what you say, and then that kind of gives. I think that gives Mario Lopez a lot more to do. Actually, so I love it. This is actually great. I'm gonna actually talk to Billy over at Amazon today about this because I think Highway to Heaven is still just sitting there after Terrence Winter tried to do it. Terrence Winter, he kind
of
messed it up, honestly.
The wings.
Oh, did he?
Oh, I love that. That's great. Okay, that's real. I really like.
Can I real quick pitch something too?
Yeah, go ahead.
Man, it's a reboot of that new Apple show called From Earth to the Moon, but now it's set on the moon, but it's called From the Moon to the Earth, and they got it's about the space program, and they're trying to get to the Earth, but they can't.
Yeah, people really aren't into
moon
stuff.
I just sold my pitch. They've already eaten a meal.
I want to pitch you a new version of The Mandalorian on the Disney Plus where he's not a robot, and instead he's a cowboy, and he doesn't have a baby lizard, but instead he's got a steer, a seed bull, and he's carrying it to market, you could still have.
Well, it just seems like this. It seems like Bonanza.
But it's on the moon.
Put it on.
It's not
moon.
On the moon.
It is.
Guys, we're not doing moon stuff. Moon stuff doesn't even really work. I mean, look, and honestly,
how about
like not
stuff?
You know,
but you got a deal. You got a deal on the moon stuff, and we'll talk about the butt stuff, and we don't need him.
You know,
he
when I did my Salacious Crumb series.
That's already good. You already want stuff that's been sold and good.
Yeah, well, you did a Salacious Crumb series?
Yeah, I did a Salacious Crumb miniseries.
Oh, really?
For Disney Plus. That's, you know, the Jabba's little creature that hangs out on the front of Jabba's body up there.
Well, now, did you recast Jabba as a thin person to be all sensitive?
I did.
God damn.
We actually replaced Jabba. That was Circus. We got him in there too. But Circus with not any CGI. It was just him in a bigger, you know, we gave him like a fishtail or whatever. But but Salacious Crumb was actually a cool, I was excited about it because, you know, for me, that was a character that always called out that we needed to kind of explore his backstory and stuff like that.
Yeah, why does he find everything so funny?
Yeah. Exactly. Why do we laugh in the face of trauma? And we get to find out that Salacia Crumb is from actually a very troubled household. It's kind of like This Boy's Life, the DiCaprio De Niro film where
he had type 2 diabetes.
Yeah. No, he didn't. No, he had no diabetes.
Did you put it on the moon of Endor?
No, he stayed on Tatooine. But Bib Fortuna, that was the breakout character from that one. That we really were excited to see where that character goes to as well.
Okay.
So we're just trying to do spin-offs and kind of expand the narrative.
You've got so many projects that are going so well. I'm scared that you'll forget me.
No. I love this Highway to Heaven thing. Billy just sent me back. He's like, he likes it a lot. He's like, if we can get Lopez to sign on, we maybe get Melissa Joan Hart to direct it. I feel like that's a kind of a good, if we're talking about Hallmark Channel. She's got a little industry over there, cottage industry.
All of that sounds very doable.
I think it sounds great. I'm excited about this a lot. This is like, for me, Hallmark is always looking for stuff. Always looking for stuff.
Well, congratulations, Amy. That's exciting. You just got made a star on this episode. It happened.
I feel this sense of just excitement, but then terror.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. Billy
too much too soon.
He just
What happened?
Billy just wrote me back. He's like, we're trying to stay away from God stuff at Amazon, so I think we're gonna. I guess the two things that didn't test well is God stuff and stairs. So they want to kind of want to put this
moon
on the back.
Stuff. He didn't say that was bad. So
I didn't really text him about the moon stuff. Hey, but that was a great idea, and we did get close for a second
yeah,
there.
So
but
close. So
highway
yeah,
to
so
the moon.
Sorry about that.
Are
so
you
sorry.
Relieved, Amy?
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't want it. I really didn't want it.
I could see your downfall headed. The backlash was about to start. I could see it all
you
going.
You realize
bad.
Once you get in the biz for a while, you go, oh, "Is this even my dream?"
Yeah, success is for pussies.
Yeah, damn it.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Back to this episode of Bonanza.
Right,
a moment. Just quickly, we do get a fencing duel between Joe and Eduardo, and Joe defeats Eduardo afterwards. What happens? And then Eduardo explains to Cayetana, who he's going to marry. He says, after we are married, you will not want to do such a thing, my dear, referring to flirting around with little Joe. And he says, nor will you have the opportunity.
Because they're going to get in a domestic violence situation, and it's going to get bad.
She's going to be a prisoner. And then this is where we got to talk a little bit about the Chupacabra. Let me just explain to you. In 1995, there was all these sightings of a Chupacabra, and a guy investigated it, and he said that there was two things happened. The movie Species came out, and all these livestock were killed in Puerto Rico. And then a Puerto Rican DJ talking about the death of all these livestock said it must have been a chupacabra, which means goat sucker. And as far as anybody can tell, he invented that term. It's the first time anybody ever went out there and talked about a chupacabra. But the fellow who was researching this book said there's only been one other mention of a chupacabra that he could find, and that is in this episode of Bonanza. We're in this scene, Mexican woman hears the night bird, the whippoorwill, and she says it's a bad luck sign because the whippoorwill is a goat-sucking chupacabra bird that will steal the milk from cows. And that is a very ancient belief that night birds will steal cows' milk. So you get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
as
I love
opposed
this.
To the urban legend that homebred hamsters will suck the milk of kittens.
Wow. I never heard that one.
Wait, so this really is the first ever evidence of someone saying chupacabra?
Yep, apparently.
Holy shit.
Yep.
Maybe
Bonanza,
we should just retitle
it again.
Maybe it just be Bonanza : Chupacabra. Maybe that would be a great way to kind of frame our series.
Why don't you just call it Chupacabra and leave Bonanza alone? No one's going to connect it anyway.
But he's so confident.
Yeah, it kind of feels like that's the right way to do it. Like each season could be about a different kind of chupa, or whatever, or cabra, whatever you want it to be.
been to his thought process. He knows things. He just says them and they seem right.
Yeah, I like that. If every episode, every season is a different chupa, it's a different kind of sucker.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, they kind of run. It's kind of like our Jaws. I mean, I think people love Jaws. I mean, I used to do that monologue all the time. The Quincy monologue from Jaws. I love that.
His name's not Quincy. God damn it. It's Quint.
Oh yeah. Whatever. And, you know, I love that. All you know, it's like, to me, it's just like, that's our Shakespeare.
Jesus.
Uh-huh. Do you have any history? Have you ever seen anything or like?
Yeah, no, I like a lot. I like a lot of stuff. I like those M&M mini movies.
You mean like commercials for M&Ms?
I don't know. I don't even know what they. I just saw one before a movie one time where it was like these two M&Ms and like one was attached to like a bomb that was going off, and I don't remember how it ended, but it just seemed fun. It seemed like
you're like a you're like a salamander with ideas.
Yeah, to me, I always think the more blank I could be, the better off my ideas are received into the world. You know, it's like the lack of stuff I have in there is going to make it, you know, because I think a lot of people come with preconceived notions. And I remember I think it was Gauguin. He might have said something about like, you know, just empty your mind and do your thing. And, you know, and then people will like it.
Who said that? The Chupa.
No, Gauguin.
Rodin?
Gauguin.
Kaiju?
Yeah. You know, Gauguin is like a famous, like he's like, gosh, I don't even know how I would describe Gauguin. He's like, you guys familiar?
Is he
with
like
Portugal?
A turtle like, that stands up on his hind legs and comes out of the
no,
sea
he was
of Japan?
Like, he was like
the three
like,
necks.
Yeah, you know, the three necks.
No. If you guys are familiar with Twitch, he's like Ninja on Twitch, like kind of like really kind of popular in his day, doing like cool shit. And I don't know much about him, but that was a quote that that I heard at a festival thing.
Uh-huh.
Jesus was quoted as saying, yes, we can.
That's
I love it. I'm going to write that down. That's a great one.
Well, so I think I neglected to mention that the comical Mexican family is following behind because they can only travel as fast as the baby donkey they have with them.
Oh, yeah, that's fun.
The party on their way to the Ponderosa, and they make it all the way up there. And
fun.
So this episode ends with Ben and Adam back at the Ponderosa welcoming their $15,000 seed bull, and Hoss, a.k.a. Eric, and little Joe, and this little boy and his comical parents and his comical father, who's always singing funny Mexican songs about wishing that he was dead. And
cool.
And he welcomes them to the ranch. Sounds like they can stay there for good, and she's going to cook delicious Mexican meals like she did at the campsite.
I fully awesome. Expect them to be present in every episode going forward.
Why wouldn't they be? Yeah, they live on the Ponderosa now. So from now on, there's three Mexican characters.
Well, if we do this and they take off, you know, that would be great. Like, obviously, the truck, you know, the truck is... Well, again, if the food truck is working, then we'll probably spin that off into its own separate show, because I think that's what Amazon's trying to do. Like, they call them verticals. So we would do, like, we'd first do the food truck podcast, and then we turn that into a show.
Oh, man. I'm just so confused by all of that. It's just crazy, and it just all seems so unnecessary.
Do you ever start a show development from an initial temporary tattoo?
Honestly, I haven't done that, but I did develop a show all around Calvin pissing on the Ford logo. That was the one as a kid, I was so engaged by that image. And then I found out that we couldn't, that Calvin was somebody else's creation. And then that was a little bit hard to get that out of that guy was so hands on about what he wanted that character to do. But so he didn't really want the pissing stuff. So, to me, that was like a new Dennis the Menace. I really wanted to embrace that. You know,
did you end up just like changing the character's name and giving him a
yeah, we did live action. Yeah, we did live action with this kid named Bobby. J.J. Thompson, really talented kid, you know, really fresh, fun energy for him. He hosted like a kid prank show on Adult Swim for a while. That didn't last long. But I guess you couldn't show full frontal male nudity on network television.
Oh, yeah. You can't have a child actor pissing in a way that the camera can see that he's doing.
Yeah, that was I wish somebody would have told us that when we were shooting it. They always wanted, they said, well, on the images, his back is to the thing. But I was like, well, but we know how to, I thought that was always just like, because the artist didn't know how to draw a dick. So that's why we shot it from the front. We always shot it from the front.
Okay. Yep. Well, oops. I guess if you had that to do over again, you would have done it a little different.
Yeah, a little bit. But again, I'm proud of it.
Okay. Well, folks, no women died in this episode of Bonanza, so the love interest body count for season one still stands at 9.
Hold on. We don't know the sex of that bear.
Okay. Might have been a female bear that was so brutally beaten to death by hogs. Wow. All right.
And it could have been a person of intersex who was shot in the beginning. You don't know. Some people have both genitalia, and we just didn't talk about it until the late 70s.
We're going to do that actually a lot in the show. We're going to find out a lot of the Cartwrights have multiple genitalia.
Oh, multiple genitalia.
Well, I believe that because I swear to God, Adam's swinging two pieces of meat down there.
I wouldn't be at all surprised.
Yeah.
Well, look, so your reboot of Bonanza sounds completely insane and infuriating and bewildering and like something that by hook or by crook must be stopped, even if it comes to violence. But thank you for coming
on
the show.
It's a pleasure. Make sure you definitely promote me, and you can hit me up on Twitch. You can hit me up on Parler. You can hit me up on Barrage. You can hit me up on Cuckoo. And make sure that you can always gift me at DoorDash. That's always fun, you know, for me to get different meals at my house from all my fans.
What's your Venmo?
My Venmo is obviously, it's my first dog's name, which is George Steinbrenner.
So you can Venmo him some money at George Steinbrenner, and
you're so clever and funny, and I have a feeling filled with bull.
You know, look, not at all, you know, and just want to give that shout out to all the, I hope all the Levatics came out here today to listen to this because they're excited about Demi on the air.
You're a sea bull, you city slicker. Go hide in a goddamn cement doghouse, you son
of a bitch. All right. This is all great stuff. I'm writing all this down. You guys are fantastic.
Hey, that reminds me. The way this episode of Bonanza ends is just the way that the cold open ended, where they boys tell Adam all about everything that happened, and then Adam says, well, that certainly is a lot of bull, and everybody laughs.
I like that. Yeah. Cue Run the Jewels.
Damn it. All right. Well, folks, I'd say we've just about done her. This has been an episode of Bananas for Bonanza. There are only 415 episodes of Bonanza left to talk about after this one, I'm sorry to say. And good Lord. Well, and we're going to do them. We're going to do every goddamn one of them. And we will never recap this reboot of Bonanza.
All right,
never.
Well, you know,
shame on you, Amazon.
We'll throw you some dollars every way, and we'll see if we can make you give a PE, which is a personal endorsement, which means that we're paying you to say it, so you have to.
All right. Well, that would do it. All right. So long, folks. Bye.
Bananas for Bonanza is brought to you by Andy Daly, with Maria Bamford and Matt Gorley. Theme song by Matt Gorley, with The Journeyman, which in this case are Mark McConville, Daniel Michigoff, and Wade Ryan. Special thanks to our gang on the ground, Josh Richmond and Shannon Locke. Bananas for Bonanza is produced by Ryan Connor and Matt Gorley, and executive produced by Colin Anderson and Chris Bennett. We'll see you next time.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.